Radio Prague News.
Some 140 Roma have refused to leave their homes in an Ostrava slum despite a note of eviction. The Czech Republic's industrial output in June slowed down by 2.2% year-on-year, and meteorologists have warned against strong storms that are expected to hit most of the country later on Monday. Some 140 Czech Roma to be evicted over poor technical and sanitary conditions of the buildings in the Přednádraží slum in Ostrava in the northeast of the country have refused to leave their homes. The houses are now being reviewed by the authorities. The inhabitants were given until Saturday night to leave. The municipality has offered alternative housing to the Romanis, who however complain that the accommodation is overpriced. The Czech branch of the human rights watchdog Amnesty International, along with several Czech NGOs, has called on the authorities to immediately find a solution to the problem. The Czech Republic's industrial output in June slowed down by 2.2% annually, according to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Monday. That follows a decrease of 2.4% registered in May. After seasonal adjustment, however, the country's industrial production rose by 0.3% year-on-year. Analysts expect industrial output to keep slowing down in the rest of the year as the Czech economy is going through a protracted period of recession. Nearly 190 million crowns, or more than $9.2 million, from two EU operational programs was between 2007 and 2011 paid in breach of the rules, according to a report by the Czech Supreme Auditing Office released on Monday. The audit found that the Jihozapad and Moravsko-Slezsko programs frequently breached public procurement legislation and lacked sufficient control of the funds, the authority said. In some cases, money was paid for projects that were never completed. Representatives of the two programs in question said they didn't agree with the results of the audit. Czech President Václav Klaus is among few active politicians listed by international agencies as prominent motivational speakers, the news website Aktuálně.cz reported on Monday. Lectures by Mr. Klaus are offered by agencies such as the London Speaker Bureau, All American Speakers and others. The agencies refused to reveal Mr. Klaus's speaking fees, while a spokesman for the Czech president declined to comment on the issue. Václav Klaus is reportedly offering lectures on a variety of topics, including politics, EU affairs, globalization and others. In the latest news from the Olympics, Veronika Fenslová on Monday finished ninth in women's laser radial sailing event at the 2012 Olympic Games in London. The 31-year-old Czech started off eighth with no chances of winning a medal, the news agency ČTK reported. In other Olympic news, trap shooter Miroslav Kostelecký, who won gold at the previous games in Beijing, failed on Monday to qualify for the finals of the event. Czech mountaineer Zuzana Hofmanová was on Monday reported missing after she reached the summit of Broad Peak in the Pakistani Himalayas. The website of her expedition said the 53-year-old mountaineer reached the top of the 8,047-meter-high mountain on the 31st of July, but never returned to the base camp. Ms. Hofmanová became the first Czech woman to reach the summit of Broad Peak, the world's 12th tallest mountain. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Czech meteorologists on Monday warned against strong storms that will hit most of the country later in the day. Heavy rainfall could swell local rivers, and the authorities in the Vysočina and Olomouc regions are considering declaring flood alert. Daytime highs in Moravia could reach up to 35 degrees Celsius. Otherwise, the coming days will be mostly clear with clouds, rain and storms. Daytime highs will range between 27 and 31 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, Czech willies make a splash at the Olympic Games in London. And how are Czech athletes doing in the Olympic Games? Later on, you can hear our in-depth interview of the week with Stephen Delbos, a Prague-based poet who teaches at Charles University. And we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. This weekend saw the Czech Olympic team pick up four more medals in London, including the first gold in this year's Olympics. The Czechs achieved most of their successes of the past few days in the water, but even before the Games began, the Czech team made a big splash in the world of fashion. At the opening ceremony, they paraded around the Olympic Stadium in facetious Wellingtons with umbrellas in hand. But for the creators of the Olympic opening outfits, their success was not a given. Marsha Volinsky has the story.
This year's Olympics were dubbed early on as the most stylish sporting event in history. Designers like Giorgio Armani and Ralph Lauren and international labels such as Adidas, Prada and Fila showed off the gear designed for Olympic teams weeks before the opening. In this star-studded lineup, no one suspected that the Czech team will make a big impression. Nonetheless, the Czechs won over the audiences at the opening ceremony not only with the elegant pattern and colors of their outfits, but even more with their witty accessories, appearing in low-cut Wellington boots and carrying umbrellas with the same design. I spoke to Jiří Kejval, the Czech Olympic Committee's vice president for finance and marketing, who came up with the Wellies idea, and asked him what inspired him.
We wanted to be not like the others, and we're thinking of this, what will be funny and how we can be different. And, you know, the British, they are talking always about the weather. And we said, we were talking about the Wellingtons and about the umbrellas. And with this idea, we came to Daniela Flešerová and her studio.
The pattern for the whole of the Czech Olympic kit was based on a painting called Amorfa by the famous Czech abstract artist František Kupka. The clothing Czech athletes took with them to London was a team effort involving the Czech sportswear manufacturer Alpine Pro, members of the Olympic Committee, some of the Olympians, and designers. But having gotten little attention from the Czech press during the pre-Olympic presentations of the kit, its creators had little indication of how the outfits would be received. In fact, some openly negative feedback they had gotten before the opening left Daniela Flešerová from design studio Edanieli that created the outfits for the opening ceremony unsettled.
I was really a little bit nervous and I was wishing in the rain for the opening that all these people understand how it was meant, like a little joke, just very English.
Some people at home did not at first understand the humor of making wellies part of the outfit and felt it was degrading to Czech athletes and the Olympic ceremony, as Jiří Kejval explained.
The feedback in the Czech Republic was not good. People said the Wellingtons, that's more for the field, you know, than for the celebrations like the opening ceremony. But the British, they have a very similar kind of humor like Czech have, and it was a very well received from early beginning because the people love it.
In the end, the outfits hit the right note, both with the British audience and the Czech athletes. Women's tennis doubles silver medalists Andreje Hlaváčková and Lucie Hradecká showed the Wellingtons off at the medal ceremony on Saturday. Ever since the opening ceremony, visitors have flocked to the Czech House in London to purchase their own pair of the popular footwear. But Mr. Kejval told me on Friday that the organizers did not originally expect them to be such a huge success.
We were not prepared for such a big demand. So because originally we made the Wellingtons mainly for the athletes and just with several hundred of spare pairs, but most of them are sold out. So we have just only very small sizes now. And we sold something like 300 of them and they were sold out within a minute.
And as the Olympic Games become as much about fashion as sport, the next challenge for the Czech Olympic Committee will be to prepare for the Sochi Games 2 years from now and create outfits that will be just as original as this year's.
Marsha Volinsky with that report. And now, this being Monday, we offer you a summary of the sports news for which we naturally go to London. Here is Dominic Yoon with the sports.
Mm-hmm.
After an initial barren spell of what seemed like an eternity came the Czech Republic's first Olympic medal. Last Wednesday, 1st of August, 25-year-old Prague-born kayaker Vavřinec Haradilek won a silver medal in the Olympic men's canoe slalom K1 kayak category. Haradilek came in with a time of 94.78 seconds. He was pipped at the post by gold medal winner Italy's Daniel Molmenti, who came in at 93.43 seconds. This is Haradilek's first Olympic medal. The kayaker came in 7th place in his category during the Beijing Olympics 4 years ago. The Czech Republic won a second Olympic medal 2 days later on Friday as rower Ondřej Sinek came in 2nd place in a 200 metres race with a time of 6 minutes 59 seconds 0.37. He was beaten to the gold by New Zealand's Mahe Drysdale, who came in with a time of 6 minutes 57.82. This is Sinek's second Olympic medal. He won the same medal in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The Czech women's doubles tennis pair Andrea Hlaváčková and Lucia Hradecká have failed in their bid for an Olympic gold, going down 4-6, 4-6 to the American sisters Serena and Venus Williams. The match, played on a rainy Sunday at Wimbledon's All England Club, took place under the closed roof of Centre Court and was a replay of the recent Wimbledon women's doubles finals, in which the Williams sisters ultimately prevailed. This too was a decidedly one-sided affair, with the Williams sisters breaking their opponent's serve in the very first game. The Czech pair had a few opportunities of breaking back, but ultimately their opponents proved successful. Despite the loss, Hlaváčková and Hradecká remained in good spirits, even wearing their famous Czech Wellington boots, worn by the nation's Olympic hopefuls at the opening ceremony as they collected their silver medals. Here, Hradecká explains to Czech television their decision to wear the boots.
Because this morning when we went onto the court it was raining, so we thought that this was an ideal form of footwear that could perhaps impress, since we didn't manage to do that by getting the gold.
As for their opponents, they now have 4 Olympic gold medals spanning 12 years of the games in their collection. And disappointment was the order of the day on Sunday for the Czech women's beach volleyball pair of Kristina Kolcová and Markéta Sluková. The Czechs were denied the chance of battling for a medal by the US pair of Jennifer Kessie and April Ross. The quarterfinal match ended 2 sets to love, with both sets ending relatively tightly, 23-18 and 25-21 respectively. The match, which took place before a sellout crowd, was over in 49 minutes. The Czech pair had 2 set points in the first set, but ultimately it was the Americans who managed to outplay the 24-year-olds. But the Czech pair need not worry too much. They've become something of a phenomenon back home and later expressed their gratitude for the interest fans had displayed in the sport. Meanwhile, 25-year-olds lean-born athlete Adela Sikorová brought the Czech Republic yet another medal on Saturday, winning a bronze in the women's 50-meter rifle three positions competition. In the sport, a .22 long rifle is fired at a target at 50 meters distance. The total score is an aggregation of 10 shots fired in the standing position in the finals and 60 shots fired while standing, kneeling, and in the prone position or lying on the ground during the qualifiers. Sikorová was in 4th place after the qualifiers and managed a strong performance in the finals, coming in with a total score of 683.0, beaten by the US's Jamie Lynn Gray with a score of 691.9 and Serbia's silver medal winner Ivana Maksimovic with a score of 687.5. Sikorová, a geography student, first started the sport when she joined a shooting club aged just 6. Finally, 31-year-old Brno-born athlete Miroslava Knapková brought the Czech Republic their very first gold medal at the Games on Saturday. The win came in the sport of rowing, specifically women's single sculls, in an event staged in Dorney Lake, not far from Windsor. Knapková came in with a final time of 7 minutes 54 seconds 0.37, besting the silver medal winner Fie Udby Eriksson of Denmark, who finished with a time of 7 minutes 57 seconds 0.72. It was that strong more than 3 second advantage that saw the Czech cruise to victory. Appearing later at Czech House in London's Islington, the athlete revealed that she was so happy to win that she had even kept her medal on in the shower. In case you're counting, that's 3 out of 5 Czech medals in the field of rowing.
My thanks to Dominic Yoon for that sports roundup. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for another edition of One on One with Sarah Borůvka.
Stephen Dalbos is a Prague-based poet. 5 years ago, he moved to Prague, where he edits the Prague Review, teaches literary writing at Charles University, works as a business reporter at the English-language newspaper The Prague Post, and occasionally hosts the Alchemy Poetry Reading Series at the Globe Café. I talked to Mr. Stephen Dalbos about the English-language poetry scene here in Prague and what initially drew him to the city.
I came to Prague, I think it was 6 years ago, and I originally came here to study as an exchange student at Charles University. And so I was here for a year studying and basically just came on a whim, but met some good people here and kind of fell in love with the city. So I went back and finished school in the U.S. and then I came back a year later. So I've been here for 5 years straight now.
Now, would you say that moving abroad has had an effect on your writing?
I think definitely, maybe not an effect that you could that other people would notice, but I think living abroad, for one thing, I kind of go between feeling like I'm on the cutting edge here and feeling that I'm lost in the wilderness, because there's a lot more happening in terms of publishing and things in the U.S. So on the one hand, I get to avoid kind of all the infighting and backbiting of the literary scene in the U.S. while still having access to it through submissions and things like that.
You are also very active in the local poetry scene here in Prague. Can you mention some of the projects that you are involved in here or that you are in charge of?
Sure. First off, I guess I started managing the Prague Review a couple of years ago, which is a literary magazine that was around from 96 till 2001 and then kind of took a hiatus. And we put out issue 8 about a year and a half ago, and we're working now on the next issue. It's basically a once-a-year kind of literary journal of all types of writing and art and photography as well. So that we're looking to put out hopefully in the spring. Also, a new kind of personal project I'm working on, it's a poetry pamphlet series called Rakish Angel. And it's basically a limited edition kind of handmade publication of local poets, English language poets and Czech poets in translation. The first one was 6 Prague Poets, which came out in December, which featured myself, Katarzyna Rudchenkova, who's a Czech poet whose work was translated by myself, and Chris Crawford, who's a Scottish poet, who's also in there. 2 American poets, Gil Fleischman and Jason Mashak, who live in Prague.
With the big publishing houses, it's kind of very well known that poetry is something they shy away from. Would you say with the smaller publications that you are involved in that you find there is a market for poetry still?
Yeah, I think there's a market for poetry, but not in the way that we think of publishing markets in terms of, you know, if a poetry book sells a couple thousand copies, it's a big success. I think that there is a market for poetry. It's a smaller market than for novels, for example. I think poetry readers appreciate poetry and read poetry deeper than novel readers, for example. You might not find a book of poetry in the airport, but I think the people who read poetry, I don't think the audience has shrank or grown very much. I think it's stayed pretty constant.
Here in Prague, do you think that the English language poetry scene, which you yourself are very active in, and the Czech poetry scene, that those two sometimes overlap?
I can't speak for the English language poetry scene that's been going on for the last 20 years. But I think in my time that I've been in Prague, that's kind of one of the big failures of English language poets here. I mean, if you think back, you know, Prague is also often compared to, or was compared to, Paris in the 1920s, the left bank of the 90s thing. But if you look back at the writers who were American writers who were living in Paris at the time, there was much more cross-pollination, much more translation of the surrealists and the avant-garde French writers, bringing those writers into English. And that really fostered some vital links between the two cultures. But here, I don't see as much of that going on. I know many, many people who've lived here for a number of years who don't speak any Czech. I think in the past couple of years, there have been some overtures between the Czech poetry scene and the American poetry scene or English poetry scene. And certainly there are some writers. I can think of Justin Quinn, for example, who's an Irish poet here, who teaches at Charles University, who's very active translating, especially Petr Borkovets, who's a contemporary Czech poet. I do think there's a lot of room for improvement in that. If that happens, Prague might finally, you know, really be recognized as the vital literary scene that it kind of always has wanted to be.
And in terms of Czech language poets, are there any that you would say you really admire or that have influenced you even?
Yeah, sure. When I was working on my master's degree, I lectured on Yaroslav Seifert, and I translated a number of his poems. He's kind of a big figure for me. I really admire him as he lived for such a long time. He had the opportunity to write about so many different historical and personal events. More contemporary, there's a Pavel Schrute, who recently released or had a bilingual collection published called Paper Shoes. I really admire his work. A number of others, Vladimir Holan, Nezval, the Surrealist poets. Certainly some kind of stylistic traits and a kind of way of breaking lines and a way of a kind of solid stanza structure that I've tried to incorporate or kind of have unconsciously incorporated into some of my work.
And in terms of poetry-related events here in Prague, what was your highlight so far? Is there anything that really stands out?
Last year, I read at Švandovo Divadlo. They do a literary evening once a month, and I think once per year they have an English language evening, and so I read there, and Roman Kratokvila, who owns the Shakespeare and Sons bookstore, he invited me and he translated some of my poems into Czech. So it was a bilingual reading and mostly Czechs attended. So that was a big thrill.
You also teach at Charles University. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Sure. It's a new course that I designed for first year students. It's basically literary writing. So I had the opportunity to put together a syllabus of my favorite poets and essayists and fiction writers. And so we read those, we discuss them, and then the students are basically, they're first year literary students. So it's basically teaching them how to write about literature, which is pretty challenging, actually, because in terms of writing critically about things, you have to go beyond what you like and don't like and talk about if it's successful or unsuccessful. I also teach a few courses at Anglo-American University, which is a smaller private university here. In the summer, to coincide with the Prague Writers Festival, I teach a creative writing course, intensive four-week course, where we read all the writers who are here for the festival and have the opportunity to go to the festival and also workshop some students' work. So that keeps me active as well.
And so aside from teaching, you also work as a business reporter at the Prague Post. Do you ever still wish you would be able to make a living by just being a poet? And do you think that's even possible today?
Well, the number of people who have been able to make their living as purely as poets, as you know, you could probably count on one or two hands from the beginning of time. I think that the writers that I really admire are people like Sartre or Robert Lowell or Ezra Pound, people who didn't consider themselves just poets or just novelists, but considered themselves writers or men of letters, or George Orwell would be in there as well. And people who didn't limit themselves conceptually or stylistically to a particular genre, but try to kind of engage the world through writing. So that's the way I kind of try to look at it. I think if I had to just write poetry all the time, I wouldn't get bored, but I would probably write a lot of really bad poetry.
Stephen Delbos was Sarah Borufka's guest on One on One, and that edition of One on One was first aired in January of 2010. And now in the time left to us, we're offering you another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series, The ABCs of Czech.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which we look at the different ways of using numbers in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Daniela Lazarová,
and we'll take a look at expressions and idioms to do with birthdays and anniversaries. The Czech word for birthday is
narozeniny.
The suffix iny can be added to practically any number above 10 to mean the particular birthday. For example, 20 in Czech is
dvacet,
and a 20th birthday is
dvacetiny.
In the same way, a 30th birthday would be
třicetiny,
and a 50th
padesátiny.
That is sometimes called
Abrahamoviny,
after the biblical character Abraham. Another biblical age is 33, often called
Kristova léta,
Christ's years. Also related to Christianity, the word
křížek,
little cross, can be used to mean a decade in a person's age. So, for example, the idiom Mít pět křížků means to be in one's 50s. If a number ends in the digit 0, in Czech we say it is
kulaté číslo,
or a round number. Such a birthday is then called
kulatiny.
For an important birthday or anniversary, you can also use the word
jubileum,
jubilee. An anniversary,
výročí,
can also be round.
Kulaté výročí.
Wedding anniversaries have special names in Czech too. A 25th anniversary is called
stříbrná svatba,
a silver wedding. 50 years is celebrated as
zlatá svatba,
a golden wedding. And a diamond wedding, or a 60th anniversary, is
diamantová svatba.
And this is where we'll end today's episode. Tune in again next time for more useful Czech phrases. Till then, goodbye.
Naschledanou. That was Pavla Horáková with another Czech lesson, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening, and take care.